Good morning. We're delighted to have this good number with us. Thomas, thank you. Thank you. While he's getting us all set up and everything, we're thankful that you're with us. Again, if you're a guest among us, we're honored that you've come to be with us, and we want to extend to you an invitation to come back, worship with us every time you have the opportunity. If you're from the local area and you're looking for a place to worship, we hope you'll decide even today, hey, I found it. That's where I'm going to be. We'll do everything we can to encourage you in your Christian walk. We need your encouragement. You come. You get involved in the work of the Lord's church here in this location. We, of course, sorrow with Sister Becky and her family over the loss of her brother Ted yesterday. And Thomas and will keep us informed, I'm sure, about our funeral arrangements and those kind of things. But be praying for that family and be sure that you assist them in just any way that you possibly can. If you men need a morning of encouragement, tomorrow morning is a good day. We'll be hosting the preacher's meeting, which will be at the building of the Greenbrier Church of Christ at 10 o'clock in the morning. All of you are invited. All of you men are invited. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Neither am I. Neither am I. I'm just a Christian who has been given the opportunity to share from time to time from the Word of God. And you have the same privilege and the same opportunity. And these men who get together, we just have a great time. We'll have a good study, and we'll just be encouraged with each other's presence. And if you would like to go and ride with me, you just let me know. We'll take care of that. I want to begin this morning with a series of lessons, but I don't want you to be alarmed. I want us to look at the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. We know it as Ephesians. So if you'll be turning there, we're going to just look at one phrase. And I say I don't want you to get alarmed because you think, man, we'll never get through it. But I want you to look with me at just one phrase, at the way this letter begins. As you're finding that, let me say this to you. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and the letter seems to be, it carries a number of lines and a number of themes that kind of run through it. But the central theme seems to be to remind the church at Ephesus of who they are. Thomas, in Bible class this morning, read to us from verses 3 through 14 of the first chapter. We're chosen in the beloved. That's who we are. We're the chosen in Christ Jesus. We're the redeemed. Those who have been redeemed by His blood. Verse number 7. We're those who have an inheritance. An inheritance that has been guaranteed us by the Holy Spirit. This is who we are. And it seems that maybe the church at Ephesus was forgetting that. Maybe we're forgetting. To the church at Ephesus, he's going to say in just, it's a letter, folks. It's a letter now. But I'm glad it's broken down in chapters and in verses. But he's going to say at the end of the third chapter in reminding them of who they are, that you're the ones that God is working through. The God who can do more than you're able to ask or think. And you're them. That's you. As he reminds us of who we are. But I want us to begin by just looking at this letter. The Apostle Paul had passed through the region of Macedonia, and he'd come to the city of Ephesus. You can read about this in chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Just let me give you a little background. The Apostle Paul had come to the city of Ephesus. You might think of Ephesus as being the capital at that time, the capital city of all of Asia Minor. In Ephesus was a temple to the goddess Diana. And the Apostle Paul comes there and he stays longer at Ephesus than he does any place else in his ministry. He stays for an extended period, a period of 2 years, and possibly longer than that. But 2 years is mentioned there in Acts chapter 19. As the Apostle Paul stays there, the word of God, it says, went greatly out into all of Asia. Christians were being made all over Asia because of what Paul was doing in Ephesus and the preaching that he was doing in Ephesus. So great was it that those who were coming to the temple Diana began to decrease in number. There were some who made a lot of money because that temple of Diana was in Ephesus. They would sell shrines to those who came to worship there at that temple. They'd make little things and they'd sell them as souvenirs and keepsakes and those kind of things. And they were losing money. And so they began to speak out against the Apostle Paul. They stirred up a disturbance. So much so that on one day, the crowd was great, and for a period of 2 hours, they stirred these people up to the point where they yelled, "Great is Diana! Great is Diana! Great is Diana!" The Christians there in Ephesus, feeling a need to protect the Apostle Paul, they kind of take him in. And then they send him away. The next morning, the Apostle Paul, if you read the letter to the Corinthians, the second letter to the church at Corinth, first letter had been written to Corinth while Paul was in Ephesus and had been sent to that city at the hands of Timothy. And Paul was waiting to hear word back. How did they receive it? And he has to leave Ephesus. As he leaves Ephesus and he goes to Troas, a great door of effectual is open to him to preach the gospel, but he's so heartbroken because of what's happened at Ephesus that he can't preach. He finally receives a vision, come over and help us in Philippi or in Macedonia. And he crosses the Aegean Sea over into Philippi. And from there he goes down to Thessalonica and Berea, trying to make his way to Corinth. And as he does, he finally meets up with Timothy and he gets word. Oh, the church at Corinth, they received your letter in a positive way. They've repented of that. The Apostle Paul is encouraged. And so Paul has had to leave this place called Ephesus that he's been in for an extended period of time. And he writes this letter back to them. Here's the way the letter begins, and here's where I want us to. You're going to have to help me, Josh. You're going to have to help me, it looks like. Whether he does or not, we're going to do this. I promise myself every week I'm going to stop using this technology, and I will someday. Here's the way it begins. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is his phrase, by the will of God. By the will of God. I don't know, that just got me to thinking. What would it be like to receive a letter from an apostle? How would that affect the church at Ephesus? The Apostle Paul, yes, he's been instrumental in getting this congregation going, this church going in Ephesus. He spent a great deal of time with them, more time than he spent with any of the other congregations that he had a hand in getting up and getting going. But now he's been away, and he's been away for an extended period of time. And as he writes to them, he begins by saying, "I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God." I say to you folks that Paul is not being boastful and bragging here. The Apostle Paul is not saying, "No, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle by the will of God. Oh, great am I." Not at all. But rather the Apostle Paul is combating something that he's been faced with at every place that he's ever gone in, and with almost every letter that he's ever written, he's had to defend his apostleship and what it means to be an apostle. The churches in the regions of Galatia, the Apostle Paul has to write a letter and defend the fact that he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that means. What that means. Because there were some who were saying, hey, who do you think you are? Who was Paul to tell you guys how to live? He's gone, let us tell you how to live. To the church at Corinth. When he writes that first letter to the church at Corinth, it's a tough letter. It is. There's a lot of correction that the Apostle Paul feels the need to do with the church at Corinth. And if they're going to accept this letter that he writes, then they need to understand who's writing it, who it's coming from. And it's not so much that it's from a man named Paul as it is from an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's always by the will of God. You see, the ideas of some regarding the apostles, and it spills over even today into our thinking that, oh, that was written by Jesus. That's in red. That's important. But if it's written by an apostle, maybe, maybe not. Some have the idea that the apostles' teachings carry less authority than those do of Jesus. Then, hey, that was Paul saying that. Now, that's one thing. If Jesus said it, now that's something else. But if Paul said it, or Peter said it, or one of the apostles, it carries somehow less authority. Some have the idea that the apostles' teachings differed from the teachings of Jesus. That Jesus taught one thing, and the Apostle Paul or one of the other apostles, they might have taught on the same subject, but somehow their teachings, maybe it differed a little bit from the teachings of Jesus. A man not too long ago said to me, Jesus said nothing about homosexuality. I pointed out to him, I believe that he did. But let's just assume that he didn't. The Apostle Paul had plenty to say about homosexuality. Oh, but that's an apostle. That's an apostle. Since Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality, we just disregard anything that an apostle said about it. And here's the reason. Because in that man's eyes, the teachings of an apostle, they're less authoritative than the teachings of Jesus. That maybe they teach something different than Jesus taught. What we've got to do is just focus on those red letter verses in our Bibles. If you have a red lettered edition, I don't know what you would do if you didn't. But just focus on those passages that have the red letters in. Everything else is good. Okay, it's good. But it's not essential. And so the attitude of some in Paul's day, in Peter's day, and those apostles in their day, their attitude was much like ours. Jesus' teachings must be obeyed. But an apostle's teachings is optional. Listen to Paul again, Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen to the phrase now, by the will of God. You see, folks, the Apostle Paul is getting down to it right here as he introduces this letter to the church at Ephesus. He wants them to understand as well as us. There's some things we need to understand. One couldn't just become an apostle. He couldn't have just become an apostle by volunteering. Well, they need some apostles. I think I'll be an apostle. That's not the way it worked. You didn't become an apostle. You didn't become an apostle by choosing to take the office yourself. Well, I believe I'll run for that. Let's just have an election. If I get more than 50%, I become an apostle. Hey, vote. That's not the way it worked. You didn't become an apostle by determining, I see certain requirements here, certain things that have to be. I'll just meet those requirements, and I'll just, by meeting those requirements, become an apostle. And you certainly were not an apostle because you were selected by other men to be an apostle. Listen to Paul. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made him that apostle? By the will of God. So imagine you're the church at Ephesus. And you get a letter. I can just imagine it. Maybe the letter came in the mail on Thursday. Did they have mail service? I don't know. But the letter came in the mail on Thursday, and word begins to get out. We got a letter. It's from Paul. It's from Paul. How many of them do you suppose would have been in the assembly on the Lord's Day that week? I'm going to suggest to you every one of them. Because you've gotten a letter now by an apostle. By an apostle. You see, folks, when you received a letter from an apostle, you were receiving a letter from someone with a special calling from God. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 6. Sometimes we have it in our minds that the only disciples that Jesus had were the apostles. And we don't think about there being apostles. Of course, there are disciples, but there are disciples who are not apostles. But listen to this. Jesus has prayed all night, verse number 12, Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass when he was in I'm in the wrong place. Let me get over here where I'm supposed to be. Luke chapter 6, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued in prayer all night to God. Now, I'm fixing to give you a heads up. Jesus is about to select 12 men to be his apostles. Think about the decision. Think about the weight of the decision that was on his shoulders that night. Jesus is only going to have a personal ministry that lasts about 3 years, and half of that's already gone by the time you read Luke chapter 6. He's just got so much time. And he's going to leave, some men with the testimony that he's been resurrected from the dead. And he's only going to choose 12. Can you imagine the discussion in heaven when the angels heard this? You're going to do what? You're going to leave your work on earth in the hands of 12 men? What if they don't do it? What if they don't do it right? You better have a plan B. And Jesus says, I don't have a plan B. This is the plan. I leave it in the hands of the apostles. Look with me. Verse 13, Luke chapter 6. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. I don't know how many there were, but there are more than 12. He called unto them his disciples, and of them, of those disciples, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. You see, folks, any follower of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're all disciples. of Jesus Christ. We're learners, we're followers, we walk in his steps. But not all the disciples of Jesus were apostles. Jesus chose 12 of them. You say, well, wait a minute, wasn't Paul an apostle? Yes. Paul said about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 8, last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due season. I came along after everyone else. And therefore, Paul was constantly having to defend his apostleship. And so he begins this letter with, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I guess it'd help if we got where I need to be. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was an apostle, and Peter is sent to the house of Cornelius, the first Gentiles. The first Gentiles. In the course of the sermon that he preaches to the Gentiles to help them become Christians now, here's what he says in verse number 41. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Whoever he's talking about those who were chosen before of God. Chosen before of God, even unto us. He's talking about the apostles. Even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and of the dead. Chosen by God. Paul writes to the churches at Galatia. And again, as I said to you, he's forced to defend his apostleship. In verse number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, and then in parenthesis, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and by God the Father who raised him from the dead. I'm an apostle, Paul says, and you need to understand how I became an apostle. I became an apostle not by men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. This qualification, this special calling, this qualification as being personally chosen. So when you received a letter from an apostle, the church at Ephesus, as they received a letter from the apostle Paul, they received a letter from someone who was specially chosen by God. Now, how interested would you be in hearing that letter? I would be. I'll tell you what I would be, folks. If I lived in that day and that mail had run on Thursday and I heard there's a letter going to be read from an apostle, whether it be Paul or any other, I'd have been in that assembly. The sniffles wouldn't have kept me away. The beach wouldn't have kept me away. The weather wouldn't have affected me. I would have managed to be in that assembly. I'd have been there. Special calling. You see, when you receive a letter from an apostle, you're receiving a letter from someone with special qualifications. Special qualifications. Hey, I get to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I get to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I don't get to be an apostle. Because in order to be an apostle, and not everyone who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ got to be an apostle, but you did have to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus Christ. An eyewitness. You had to see him with your eyes. In Acts chapter 1, in verse number 21 and 22, there the apostle Peter, as he preaches that first sermon on the day of Pentecost, here's what he says in the course of that sermon. Acts chapter 1, verse number 22, or 21. Wherefore, these men which have companied with us all, this is where they're selecting Matthias. These men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. A witness of his resurrection. They're appointing Matthias to replace Judas. What must have taken place in the life of Matthias in order for him to be selected by God to replace Judas? He must have been an eyewitness of the resurrection. When the Apostle Peter preaches that first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse number 32, in the course of that sermon, here's what he says, verse number 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses, he said. I'm telling you something I saw, he says. I saw it. You see, folks, this qualification allowed the apostles to give testimony of the resurrected Christ. They weren't talking about something they wondered about, or I heard that he was resurrected. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Someone walks in. If we go back in time, and we're living in that day when the apostles are still alive. Someone says, the Apostle Paul, Mark is going to show up in our assembly today. The Apostle Peter is going to show up in our assembly today. Wait a minute. He's one of those that saw Jesus resurrected. I want to be there for that. I want to be there for that. Well, what if you got a letter from that man? You'd want to have been there for the reading of that as well. And a letter has arrived. You see, when you received a letter from an apostle, you're receiving a letter from someone with special qualifications. And they can tell you things, eyewitness things. Eyewitness things, as well as inspired testimony. You see, when you receive a letter from an apostle, you're receiving a letter from someone with special abilities. Special abilities. They had the ability to perform signs and wonders. Those signs and wonders had a purpose. They had a purpose. Those signs and wonders were for the purpose of confirming that these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse number 2 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? It was spoken by the Lord. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God bearing them witness. God bore witness of the things that they said. God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. According to his own will. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the will of God. How did you know? It was by the will of God. Because God gave them the ability to perform signs and wonders. They could lay their hands on others and bestow on them the power to perform miracles. That happens in Acts chapter 8, where Philip has gone down to Samaria and preached. The apostles heard about it. They came down. They laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. They were able to do that. In Acts chapter 19, the apostle Paul meets up with some men who have been baptized in the baptism of John. He asked them about the Holy Spirit. They don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. Well, then whose baptism were you baptized under? Under the baptism of John. He taught them Jesus, and he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he laid his hands upon them, and they spake in other tongues, the number of them, and did and prophesied, and the number of them was 12. These were men who had special abilities. These special abilities were the purpose of confirming that the things that they said with their lips and they wrote with their pen, they're from God. They're from God. And you just got a letter from them. You just got a letter from that man. I'll read that later. I'll read it if I get a chance. It can't be that important. Think again, Christian. Think again. When you received a letter from an apostle, you received a letter from a man, you received a letter that was chosen by God. Was chosen by God. You received a letter from a man who had special abilities. You received a letter from an apostle. You're receiving a letter from someone whose teachings was from God. That's what those signs and wonders confirmed. It's from God. Folks, where did Jesus get his teachings? From God. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. Where did Jesus get his teachings? Jesus taught us. Where did he get his teachings? He got his teachings from God. It's God speaking to us through his Son. Where do you think the apostles got theirs? They received their teachings from God through the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse number 26, Jesus says that the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send, he shall teach you all things. He's talking to these apostles. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said to you. Where did Peter get the things that he said? The Holy Spirit gave it to him. Who sent the Holy Spirit? God did. God did. You say, well, it could be the Holy Spirit saying what he wanted to say. Look in chapter 16, verse number 13 of John. John 16, 13. Jesus tells these same apostles, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. He's not going to just say whatever he wants to say. He'll not just speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. You get a letter from an apostle. You're getting a man, a letter whose teachings are from God. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you, they're the commands of God. I'm an apostle. The things I write to you, they're the commands of God. If it was true for Paul, it had been true for Peter. It had been true for James and John. And it had been true for them. The things these men wrote, they're the commands of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul would kind of, draw this whole idea of hey, the things that you're reading from us, as well as all the other writers of the Bible. These things, they're special. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You just got a letter from an apostle. Would this be true? Yes. And the things that he's writing, they're profitable for you. They'll cause a man to be. They'll cause a man to be profitable and able to accomplish every good work. Every one of them. And so, in conclusion, what if you received a letter from an apostle? What if you as a congregation received a letter from an apostle? It'd have been something special, folks. It'd have been something special. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The church at Ephesus was the recipient of a very, very special letter. That's the reason these letters were copied. The printing press wasn't around. These letters had to be hand copied. The men who wrote them, you know, that was their job, to write them and to keep them as accurate as possible. And God working through those men, I truly believe, to keep his message pure and holy and right. Something we can trust and have confidence in. And those scribes, they wrote those things and they made copies after copy after copy and they distributed them. And we're fortunate to have it today. Amen? We're fortunate to have it today. If the church at Ephesus was the recipient of a great letter and we have the same letter, then the Mars Hill congregation is just as blessed to have the special opportunity to read that letter. A letter from an apostle. An apostle who didn't just call himself an apostle. An apostle who wasn't an apostle because someone said, I think we'll make you an apostle. An apostle who was an apostle not because he decided, you need these kind of things to be an apostle. I think I'll start doing those things. Then I'll be an apostle. An apostle because he had been chosen by God. So I'm asking you, church, as we look at this letter that tells us and reminds us who we are over the next few weeks, and we're not going to go that little phrase all the way through this. We're going to cover some sections. But as we do that, looking at who God said we were, who's telling us who we are? Not this preacher, an apostle. And that's something special. Doesn't it make you want to go home and just sit down and read it? I've read it a few times. Makes me want to go home and just sit down and read it again. Here's your letter from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So as we study together, you be here on Sunday mornings, okay? You be here. I can't imagine that anything would keep you from being where a letter from an apostle is going to be read and studied. I can't imagine it. This morning, we want to end this part of our worship service with offering any of you an invitation. If you're here and you're not a Christian, this is your opportunity to let us know that you're ready to become a Christian, a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here, you are a Christian, but you have those needs in your life that your brothers and sisters in Christ, we could just help you with. We could, if we knew about it, maybe we could just rejoice with you in it. We need to hear from you. And so we've set aside this time right now for those of you who are not Christians, to let us know you want to become Christians. For those of you who are Christians and you have those things you want to share with us, We'd ask you at this time to make your way to the front. Do that now as together we're standing in song.
Just as I